Prayer, and we'll jump into the word of the Lord. Father God, we honor you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for forgiving us and redeeming us. Lord, we thank you this morning for everything that you've placed in our past. We thank you for healing and for deliverance. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that's going to come forth, that it will help encourage us, strengthen us to do your will. God, we love you. We thank you for your long suffering and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to jump into the 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I know last week we talked about using what we had, meaning whatever God's put in our path, whatever God's blessed us with, the many gifts that God's given us, we can use that for the kingdom. And this morning, what God has been ministering to me about is gifts. Obviously, it's Christmas time. I'm a big planner at my house. I like to get shopping done as early as possible. I don't really love to do the last minute things, even though sometimes that happens. But when I've been thinking about it, and especially at the pharmacy, I keep hearing people talk about, shopping, how stressed they are, how expensive everything is. And I agree with all that. And I know a lot of times in life, especially over the years, I've heard people don't forget the reason for the season. So what I want to talk about this morning is certain gifts that I believe all of us have. I want to talk about gifts that we can use that God has placed on the inside of each one of us, that God has made available to each one of us so that we can further help his kingdom, so we can further advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to pick up here, probably a very, very familiar scripture, a very familiar story, is 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Notice the Bible here does not say that this was necessarily a bad man, or this was a man stealing from everybody, a man doing bad things, a man that was corrupt, a man that many people didn't want to be around. No, the Bible says that he was an honorable man, and it actually says that the Lord was using him to bring about victory for Syria. So obviously the king loves this man. So verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." One of the gifts that I want to talk about this morning that I believe each one of us has is we have the gift to listen. Listening is probably one of the most important things I believe that we can do for our families, that we can do for our friends, that we can do for our job. I also believe it's one of the most important things that we can do for the kingdom of God to help advance it. I know a lot of times people I talk to, they'll tell me, "Alan, nobody will listen to me." And when someone won't listen to you, it makes you feel ashamed, or it makes you feel like you're not worth as much. It makes some people feel, myself included, that your opinion doesn't matter as much as someone else's. You see, brothers and sisters, everything going on in our lives is an opportunity for us to either give God glory or for us to miss the opportunity. And I believe this morning God is trying to highlight to each one of us that we all have the gift of being able to listen. And I don't mean sitting down in front of somebody saying, "Yeah, yeah, yeah," but I'm talking about truly listen. Listen with the intent to help. You see, probably one of the easiest things for me to do is to help somebody financially. I know that's hard for a lot of people, but for me, one of the hardest things to do is to sit down and be quiet and shut everything else off around me, because I feel like I've always got to be going, going, going. I feel like I've always got to be getting this done, preparing, planning, trying to make sure things are in order. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I do believe that God wants us to sit down and shut up. I believe God wants us to sit down with our wives, sit down with our husbands, sit down with our kids and listen to what they have to say. And not only sit there with your mind going 1,000 miles an hour, but sit there with the intent to help, with the intent to care about what they have to say. Because I promise you one thing, I believe God will bring about some of the greatest victories in each one of our lives in a way that if we listen to people that we don't think have the keys to our victory, have the keys to our the mysteries of the kingdom, I promise you God can bring about a miracle in any way that he chooses. This man Naaman was second in command. He had everything you could possibly want. He was winning. He had money and fame and all these great things. And God chooses to bring about deliverance for him. God chooses to bring about a healing for this man that could make people do whatever he wanted through a servant girl. Brothers and sisters, don't miss the blessing of God. Don't miss something that God is trying to get to you because you don't want to listen. Don't miss something because you think that the blessing or the prophecy's got to come from your pastor or from your apostle or from some man or woman that you respect in the faith. What if it can come from that person on the side of the street? What if one of your greatest victories, one of your greatest healings that you've ever seen in your life can come about through an elementary child, or I guess a kid in elementary school? What if it can come about through that person at work that's never stepped foot in church? What if your greatest victory can come from that drunk or that person that's been divorced 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times? Because I promise you one thing, we look at people and we condemn them, but we serve a God that is always there to redeem. He's always there to lift somebody up. He's always there with the gifts. And I believe this morning God wants us to understand that Naaman's healing was instituted. It was instigated by a servant girl. She was no doubt the least on the totem pole, so to speak. She was no doubt somebody that the world had written off. She was no doubt somebody that everybody thought had absolutely no importance except to serve, except to be a slave, except to be one of the spoils that was brought about by war. But because this servant girl was willing to open her mouth and Naaman's wife was willing to listen and Naaman's wife went and told him, Naaman was delivered a miracle because of the servant girl. But if Naaman wasn't ready to listen, Naaman, then we'll pick up right here in verse 7. And this is when Naaman has been sent to the king of Israel, and he's got a letter with him. Verse 7. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter. The letter pretty much says, hey, listen, I'm sending my servant to you. I'm sending Naaman to you. I love this man. He's an honorable man, and I want you to heal him of this leprosy. The purpose of my letter is to tell you, King of Israel, to heal my servant. And the Bible says in verse 7, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. Verse 8, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. To sum up the story, Naaman comes to the king of Israel and says, listen, I'm here because I need you to heal me. The king of Israel is dismayed. He's upset because he's like, listen, the king of Assyria or king of Syria, he is about to pick a fight with me. He's wanting to go to war because I'm not God. I can't make this happen. But Elisha was willing to listen. You see, brothers and sisters, miracles will happen in our lives when not only we listen, but we surround ourselves with people that will listen. How in the world did Elisha know what was going on? How did he know that the king had torn his clothes in a sign of being upset, in a sign of being confused and mad and sad, all these different emotions? How did he know about it? Because the Bible says that he heard about it. You see, Naaman heard that there was deliverance for him by the prophet, so he went to Israel, and Elisha heard that there was a situation going on, that the king was upset, and he said, listen, send him to me. Elisha said, send Naaman to me because I can heal him, because I'm awesome, because I'm wonderful, because I have the ability. Absolutely not. Elisha said, send him to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. In other words, send him to me that he may know there is a God that listens to his people in Israel. Send him to me because I know that I have a relationship with God. Send him to me because I know God has done it once and he can do it again. Brothers and sisters, there are people waiting in our lives for us to say, listen, I know you've tried this. I know you've tried drugs. I know you've tried the doctor. I know you've tried this religion or that situation or that man or that woman. But listen, I know a man that can take care of all that, and his name is Jesus. Some people are waiting on you and me to say, listen, come bring him to me and I'll show you there's a better way. Come bring her to me because I'll show you there's a healing. Come bring them to me because I'll show you there's a man that loves you in spite of. Brothers and sisters, Elisha said, listen, bring them to me, because Elisha was willing to listen that there was a situation going on. The Bible says in verse 8, and I'm just going to paraphrase for the sake of time, that Naaman goes to the king, Naaman goes to Elisha, and he goes and he knocks on his door, and Elisha says, listen. He don't even come out, but he sends a messenger and he says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go wash yourself 7 times. In the Jordan River, and you'll be restored. And the Bible says that Naaman becomes irate. The Bible says that Naaman becomes so enraged that as he's going away and leaving, that he's like, heck with this man. He begins negotiating with himself. He says, listen, shouldn't this man come out to meet me? I could have went and washed in this river and that river. These rivers of Damascus are a lot cleaner than the Jordan River. The man of God told him to do a very, very simple thing, but because it didn't look like what Naaman thought, because it wasn't presented to Naaman like he thought it should have been, Naaman was about to miss out on his blessing. Naaman was completely going back home the way that he came. But brothers and sisters, I thank God for people around us that gives us sanity at the times that we're insane. I thank God that he has positioned people around us that can give us a word of encouragement, that can bring us back to ourselves, so to speak. I thank God for people in my life that can say, listen, Alan, give God a chance. Naaman's servants say, listen, man, if Elisha would have come out and told you to do a real hard thing, you would have done it no problem at all. If he would have told you to go do this or go do that, you would have took care of it. But because he didn't do it your way, you think nothing's going to happen. Naaman actually said, listen, why didn't this man come out to meet me? I believe Naaman was prideful at this point. I believe Naaman thought to himself, listen, do you know who I am? You don't send a messenger to me. Naaman was used to being greeted in royalty. He was used to being greeted in a fashion that was it was on display for all the people to see. He was used to being uplifted by the people. He was used to being in a position of honor. But when he went to get his healing and a messenger came to him and gave him a very simple word, Naaman was so prideful that he almost missed the miracle. Brothers and sisters, this morning, don't miss it because you're not willing to listen. Don't miss a miracle in your life because it doesn't look the way that you think it should. I should not miss a miracle in my life because it's not packaged the way that I think it should be. Some of the most powerful times in my life came with a person that had absolutely not a dollar to their name. Some of the most powerful times in my life was when I was sitting in prison and I couldn't go where I wanted to go. I didn't have the freedom that, you know, almost everybody else had. I didn't have what most people considered freedom. But when God came into my life and I was willing to listen and sit in a quiet place, I received a peace that I have more than anybody I possibly know. Do things get hectic in my life? Absolutely. But God is still God. In the middle of this Christmas season, don't miss the reason for the season. The greatest gift that was ever given to you and I, that was ever given to humanity, is the Son, Jesus Christ. But so many people are missing it because we're so concerned with making this happen. We're so concerned with making that happen. But I want to give you good news this morning. God already made it happen. One thing I want you to think about as you give gifts this Christmas. I was talking to Alex this morning, and when I give somebody a gift, if it's wrapped, not by me, because for some reason God did not give me the gift of gift wrapping. I cannot figure it out. I've tried. I don't know how people do it. Alex does it. She's great at it. I cannot figure out how to wrap the presents. I swear I can't, and I've tried. And to be just very honest, I have completely given up. I'll either get Alex to do it or pay somebody to do it because it looks that bad. But when I give somebody a gift, say I was going to give my wife a Rolex, and which I am not, by the way, just since she's here, let me make that disclaimer. If I wrapped her a Rolex or got somebody to wrap her a Rolex and I gave it to her, I would be excited. I would be probably a little nervous because I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. I would be just thrilled. Why? Because I know what's inside that box. I know the value of it. I know that she wanted one for the past 20 years. But if I also gave her that same Rolex and it was just in a box without the wrapping paper on it, I would be equally as excited. Why? Because I know that value, what's in that box. Would Alex be excited as I was? No, because she doesn't know what's on the inside of that box. Would Alex be as excited as I was until she opened it? Absolutely not. Why? Because she doesn't understand the contents. Brothers and sisters, I promise you, God knows the contents of your heart. God knows the contents of my heart. And this morning, I believe God is excited. I believe you and I should be excited because He has placed giftings on the inside of us for the world to see. And it's okay that everybody around you may not understand what God's placed on the inside of you. But brothers and sisters, this morning, God is excited, I believe. I believe that you can be excited. I believe that I can be excited because I understand the value of what He's placed on the inside of us. He gave the perfect gift, His Son, Jesus Christ. There was not a higher price to be paid for you and I. The young girl, when she told Naaman, listen, Naaman, if you were in my hometown, if you were in Israel, there's somebody there that could heal you. When Naaman's wife told Naaman that, I believe they were excited because I believe that the servant girl spoke in such a way that it was convincing. Because if you know that you know that you know, then there's nobody that can persuade you of anything different. She didn't say, hey, listen, Naaman, maybe you should go to Israel and there's a 10% chance that you could be healed. She didn't say, listen, man, I've seen God do it sometimes and I've seen God not do it other times. It's a roll of the dice. I don't believe that's the God we serve. I believe God is a constant God. I believe God is a God that can do anything that He chooses to do because He is awesome and He's omnipotent and omniscient. He's awesome. And if we will understand that, if we can give God a chance that to perform a miracle in our life, it may not be the way that we want it to be. He may send it through a homeless person. He may send it through somebody that's drunk. He may send it through somebody that you've never spoken to in your whole life. But if you're willing to listen, like Naaman was willing to listen, then your miracle could be right around the corner. In closing this morning, the past week of my life has, I guess there's been several ups and downs. My sister had surgery last week. Man, God, miracle. Bam. God's healing. God's taking care of it. On an awesome high until Friday night, my wife calls me. And Joshua had some kind of allergic reaction. I get home and my son's right eye is almost swollen shut. And then he gets upset. And, you know, it's still not completely gone Saturday. But God, man, once again, brought about a healing. And all glory to God. He's healed and absolutely no problems at all. Didn't even have to go to the hospital. Hallelujah. And then my wife has to go to the doctor yesterday because the other doctor said there's a chance she has some kind of disease thing, blah, blah, blah. And so when I was talking to Alex yesterday, I said, listen, when you go in there, remember that your body doesn't fall under the same rules as some of these doctors say. Remember that your body doesn't have to line up to the word of the doctor. Remember that your body has to line up to the will of God. Because according to the doctors, you should have never been able to have Joshua. According to the doctors, she should have never been able to have Isabel. So yesterday, a couple hours after she left, or I guess a couple hours after we had our talk, I get a text from Alex that says there's absolutely no problem at all. See, because she was willing to listen, I believe, to the word of the Lord, God brought about a miracle in her life. Brothers and sisters, don't beat up Naaman because he didn't want to do it God's way. Because there's times in my life I don't want to do it God's way. And God still brings about a miracle. The Bible says that Naaman finally goes and does what Elisha tells him to do. And that his body, his skin becomes not like a 50-year-old's, not like a 40-year-old's. But the Bible says like the skin of a youth. It was glowing. It was what everybody wanted. But do you see, before that, Naaman had everything the world could ever possibly give him. He had wealth. He had riches. He had honor. He was esteemed among the people. But he was a leper. He had a disease that made him look white. It was a very, very contagious disease. It was a disease that nobody wanted. There wasn't a cure for it. It was a disease that many people would go the other way. They would walk across the street instead of walking on his side of the street. They didn't want to catch what he had. You see, Naaman had everything going on in the world, but he still had leprosy. But there's a contradiction here because Naaman's name meant pleasantness. It means one as who is pleasant to look upon, one who is pleasant to be with. Wait a minute, how could Naaman, you know, names back then meant something. I still believe they should today. But when people heard the name Naaman, they would look at him and they would say, wait a minute, you're supposed to be pleasant. I'm supposed to look at you and to see a pleasantry. I'm supposed to look at you and feel a certain kind of way, but you have a disease. But you see, I don't believe Naaman could get back to his original, the original meaning of his name until he got with God. I don't believe Naaman could get to be, could be pleasant until he was willing to listen to the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you can't get to where you need to be until you listen. I can't get to where I need to be until I listen. Some of you may have everything that the world, people may look up to you and say, oh, they have a nice house, a nice car, a nice this, a nice whatever. But I'm telling you, I've had it all and I've lived in a state of hell on the inside. I've had all the financial things I could ever want in my life and all hell has been going on the inside. It wasn't until I allowed God to come on the inside. It wasn't until I was willing to listen to the voice of the Lord that I could have peace on the inside. And I can testify that peace from God Almighty is greater than anything the world could ever give me. Peace on the inside is greater than any financial blessing I've ever had in my life. Peace on the inside is greater than the house I live in. Peace on the inside is greater than the car I drive or the car my wife drives. Peace on the inside is absolutely one of the greatest gifts God has ever given me, and I believe it's for us all. people argue with me, oh, maybe the gift of prophecies for this person, or gifts of speaking in tongues, or whatever it may be, is for this person and that. And okay, I'm to the point now, I'm like, okay, God, you show them. But I believe the gift of peace is for every one of us. I believe it is a fruit of the Spirit. When you have God with you, then peace has got to be right there. How do you get the peace, you may say, Brother Alan? How do I get this peace that you're talking about? And I got a real good answer for you. You ask God for it. But you listen to Him with the intent on being willing to receive it. Peace is worth the work. Peace is worth listening. Peace is worth everything. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning, Lord God, that some of us are like Naaman. And God, we didn't like the way you sent the miracle. God, we thought the deliverance should come a different way. God, we thought that the healing or the promotion or whatever it may be should have came a certain kind of way. But God, I know that just like Joseph's dad, when Joseph was in the pit, God, I know that Jacob didn't consider that a blessing when he lost his son. I know that when Joseph was in the pit, God, that his daddy did not consider that to be a miracle. But God, we know that later on that you had Joseph feed Jacob's family. We know that later on, God, that you had miracles that you were performing through Joseph. So God, today, I pray that you will open up our understanding for every person in this call and that we'll hear this message. God, I pray that their eyes be open, Lord, that their ears be open, and that we do not miss every miracle you send our way, that we do not miss every angel you send our way. We do not miss every deliverance that you send our way. So God, this morning, I prophesy over my brothers and sisters. God, I don't care if all hell's been going on around them or in them, God. I prophesy peace over them, God. Peace not only over them, but on the inside. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season, God, be a season of peace in each one of our lives, Lord. God, I calm the things of the world in Jesus' name. I speak against everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I speak prosperity on my brothers and sisters. I speak healing, God. I speak to their families, and I pray that this be a season, Lord Jesus, that they be delivered, that they be healed, that they be saved this year, God. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, God. We thank you for your endless grace. We thank you, Lord God, that you are exactly who you say you are, that you are God and you are peace. I thank you for everything that you've done in each one of our lives. I thank you for the plans that you have for each one of us. And this morning we say thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. We pray these things by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.